All right, the Friday night conversation between you and I starts right now here on the Lake Show on The Good Neighbor. We are guest-free tonight. 651-461-9226. That is our talk and text line. Christopher Tubbs is producing. And we are roughly 30 minutes away from kickoff between Virginia Tech and your University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. Can't wait. It'll be fun. The Duke's Mayo Bowl. Tickets still available. This is going to be interesting because...
Yeah, and if you hurry up, you can still make it.
You know, when you look at the University of Minnesota facing Virginia Tech, and the Gophers are the overwhelming favorite, okay? They are favored to win this game by... I haven't checked the latest, but when I woke up this morning, it was 9 points. But there's a question that I just have to ask you guys, okay? And it's... If this is the best that Gopher football will be under P.J. Fleck, this, what you're seeing right now, if this is the best that it's going to be with P.J. Fleck, are you okay with that? Because I'm okay with it. Now, part of it is me being beaten down. A lot of it has to do with me looking around the conference and at other institutions. And I'm okay with it. 651-461-9226. If this is the best that Gopher football will be under P.J. Fleck, are you okay with that? Now, I would think that the majority of you guys out there listening will say that you're not okay with it. I could be wrong. But this is the reason why I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because when I see what Ohio State is right now, when I see what Penn State is right now, when I look at Oregon coming into the Big Ten and bringing their brand of football in, and they were the number one seed, okay, in the college football playoff, and they got knocked out by Ohio State. I'm not sure that there's another level for us to go to. Now, is some of that just based on the recruiting of P.J. Fleck? And actually, this recruiting class, it sounds like what they've been able to do this year, much better. So we'll see if I'm proven wrong in the future. But just based on the history of Gopher football and what we have been and where we're at right now, I got to be honest, man. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with it. I'd like to think that we could go and challenge for the Rose Bowl at some point, or, you know, the bigger bowls, the bowls we've been hearing about forever. But when I look around the Big Ten, I'm just not sure about that. Now, the comeback to that specific take, though, would be this. And it's a very obvious comeback. The obvious comeback would be, well, Lake, didn't you watch Indiana this year? Indiana? If Indiana can do that, why can't the Gophers be that? And I think that's a fair point. Illinois, they're starting to bounce back. I think that people are kind of questioning. So I can hear both sides. Maybe it's just the I am beaten down as a Gopher fan expecting better, and it's never happened necessarily. Like the Auburn year when we beat Auburn in the bowl game and we had all the guys that had held over from the previous regime, that was unique, okay? That was when I think if you're a fan of the Maroon and Gold, you were just – your swagger was on 10. Like you were feeling like you were the man.
You could compete.
You felt like you were elite. That word that we use all the time, elite, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, that's P.J. Fleck's word, elite. That was when you looked at being elite and you truly felt like you were elite. Right now, I don't see elite. I just see middle of the road. We're kind of mediocre.
when I moved back in 19, and it was in the summer, and then I kind of stepped away from following the Gophers very closely. And I think when I came back, I had a chance to reset. And then all of a sudden, the Gophers have this year, and you're like, okay, this is fun. This is fun. But my question at that point, is it a fluke? Is it a flash in the pan? Or is it sustainable? What we found out very quickly, it was not sustainable. And I kind of look at Indiana and Illinois kind of in the same realm. Like, okay, once in a while, you'll have a nice spike, a nice jump by a program. But it's a 1 year story. It's a really good story. But at the end of the day, the Big Ten ultimately, with the way that it's changing too, because you're bringing in a USC, a UCLA, and I know they're, you know, those aren't powerhouse programs in terms of the success recently, but they're still based in Los Angeles, which allows you that NIL money that you should be able to use, but you're not. You've got the Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. Like, those are always going to be your powerhouses. I think Gopher fans, I think you kind of have to be resigned that if you're a middle-of-the-road team in a very stacked Big Ten, maybe this is just where you're at. Maybe this is where you're meant to be, because I feel like they had a chance in 19 to really catapult and vault themselves into the upper echelon, and they couldn't do it. I don't know if they can do it now.
I think that the reality right now with looking at the Gophers is that there has to be some sort of consistency with recruiting. I think that's what it all boils down to. It can't be we have 2 out of 5 years where the recruiting is really good and then you're just all – that's not what the big-time teams do, especially with the transfer portal. You mentioned that.
You got to be consistent.
Like you have to be more consistent now, because more likely than not, you know what's going to happen? You're probably going to lose a player or two from 1 year to the next.
And so
because of that, you got to be better at the recruiting business.
And it takes a kid like Coy Parrish to say,
he's phenomenal.
I'm going to stay here. Like, it takes players like that. It takes marquee guys to say, I want to be here. I want to play here. I have an opportunity, but I'm going to be here. Because to me, that shows that your program has something for the players that they can get, that they want to be here instead of just follow the money wherever they can.
That's the question. I pose it now. Get your reaction. 651-461-9226. We're about 20 minutes or so away from the Gophers taking on Virginia Tech in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. If this is the best that Gopher football will be under P.J. Fleck, are you okay with that? Your reaction, your phone calls, your text, next here on The Lake Show. Are you loyal to your Golden Gophers? 651-461-9226, the question of the moment. If this is the best that Gopher football will be under P.J. Fleck, are you okay with that? Gophers do have a streak going in terms of bowl wins. Right? So they've got that thing going. Real quickly here, Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Duke's famous Mayo Bowl. I think it's a famous Mayo.
Row 3, you're on the 50-yard line, level 132. So you're literally right behind the Gophers bench.
Lower level, I like that.
Row 3.
Uh-huh.
So you're literally right behind the players.
Okay.
How much do you think that ticket is?
I think second.
On the 50.
On the 50. I'd say maybe about $125.
You think it's that cheap? No. Let me dissuade you. That's a great guess. It's 101.
Really?
Okay. That's a great seat at a great price. $101?
Yeah, well, because I was trying to think. I'm like, okay, you don't have marquee programs. The key for this bowl.
You're taking a shot at the Gophers.
Yeah, because everybody's like,
it's true.
I think I got a question for you when it comes to the Gophers, where they stand in the Big Ten. I want to get your thoughts on that. But you're playing in a bowl game that is after the college football playoff has already started. Mm-hmm. Like, these are bowl games nobody remembers even exist. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't even know what Ole Miss played in last night. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Like, people are, you know, nobody's talking about the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl or whatever the hell it is we're watching now between North Texas and Texas State. I mean, nobody knows what that bowl is.
This is the Serving First Responder Bowl.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't believe I didn't know that. I mean, it's obviously
I did not know that was a bowl.
I mean, it's everybody's so focused on the college football playoff. You know, we're talking about all the, you know, what happened with Ohio State and Oregon and, you know, Notre Dame and Georgia. These are kind of the bowl games that it's like the sweet spot for me is between December 29th and New Year's Day. Like, that's when you want to play. This is just kind of a bowl game that it's like, well, I guess we got to play it because the field is available now. Like, I don't know.
Text line weighs in, says, I think it might be easier in this extremely fluid environment for normally tepid programs to bounce up, as we've seen some iconic programs do the opposite. If you look at the Illini, their basketball program has been really good for years. Indiana University used to be one of the best. So I don't think any Big Ten team has to be entrenched in mediocrity or worse. But the Gophers have never been really consistently good in football or basketball, maybe ever. So it's seemingly systemic within the university's DNA. And don't knock Duke. It's the best. No sugar. He's referring to Duke's, you know, male bowl.
Oh, no, no. He's
having fun.
Yeah, I'm in the minority.
Or she's having fun.
I like mayo. Like,
I got no issue with mayo.
You know, yeah, I know some people don't like the, you know, the egg-based spread. I'm a mayo guy. I mean, if you look at me, you'd be like, that guy likes extra mayo on his sandwiches. And I do. But I guess here's my question, Henry, when it comes to the Gophers. Not more so can the Gophers, you know, are we resigned to where they're at? But how do you separate yourself from the rest of the teams in that middle part of the Big Ten to get to just beneath the premier programs? Like, how do you separate yourself from being a one-year wonder like an Illinois, like an Indiana, like a Northwestern was? Like, how do you kind of break from the pack there?
Well, you have to increase your recruiting. You have to get better with NIL. I don't think that this is a simple, you're going to out-coach people. Like, that's just not, like, there's a lot of really good elite coaches in the Big Ten. They have to get better at this whole NIL deal. And we talked about that briefly, just transitioning from Jason DeRush's show into our show at the top of our break. And I was mentioning this to both Jason, his son, as well as Dan Cook. The bottom line is this. We have to get better in the NIL part of this stuff. And the reason why I say this is because we cannot sit here and continue to bitch and complain about NIL. It's here. It is here, people.
It's not going away.
So it's not going away. In the transfer portal, it may get refined at some point, but it's right now, it's a mess. And I give you that. It is a mess, but we have to deal with it. The best coaches in America, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, they're not just throwing their hands up and say, I give up. You can't do that. You do not hear Bill Self complaining. You do not hear Tom Izzo complaining. You do not hear the top tier. You don't hear Kirby Smart complaining. The reality about the portal in NIL is this. I think it's actually given more teams, more colleges and universities around the country a playing field. It's evening out a little bit more. There are schools out there that typically would not be able to be in the conversation for certain players that are because of NIL. Does that mean that it's all screwed up because a kid doesn't go to play for Duke now and they're the number one recruit? No. In basketball, or if you're the number one recruit coming out of high school in football and you don't go to USC or Alabama and you look to go somewhere else. No, I don't think that that's a bad thing. You know what it means? It means that some of these other schools that didn't necessarily have a chance before, they've gotten off their ass and they're busting their tail in the NIL in all of that stuff that's going on right now?
I think a lot of people, when the NIL issue first came up, it's like, well, yeah, of course, you know, Alabama and the Auburns and, you know, the college basketball blue bloods, if you will. And then the powerhouse, like the SEC schools, right? Because that's kind of where the mind goes. And I know we've got a bite of the night that'll, you know, kind of deal with that in about an hour. But you do, you have these schools that, as long as you have a donor, a benefactor, a company, somebody that is willing to get behind your athletic department and say, yeah, we're going to help fund so we can bring those athletes here. I mean, it's follow the money. It absolutely is. And I think that I have been pleasantly surprised by NIL, because when you're talking about all of this shifting in college sports, where you've now got the Power Five, and I'm a big fan of the mid-majors. I love the mid-majors, you know, like the Mountain West. I love the, you know, I love the Big East. Like, I love a lot of these conferences that no longer exist as we knew them. But I feel like it shifted away from the Power Five, and now you're giving those teams outside of the Power Five a little bit, you're giving them a little bit of a boost so they can try and offset some of that latest realignment.
I just look at all this stuff, man.
And we're a major market. We are a major market with Fortune 500 companies.
I just look at all this stuff, man, and I just say to myself that I feel like we should be better. And if Gopher fans believe that P.J. Fleck is a great salesman, then he should be doing a little bit of a better job in terms of getting guys to NIL. Like, if P.J. Fleck, and I'm not saying that he's not a good recruiter, because right now, the recruiting that he's doing for this particular cycle, it sounds like he's doing a pretty good job. But my point is this. If he's a salesman like everybody talks about, he should be able to go to a couple of different boosters or a couple of different corporations and be like, look, this kid right here, this is the quarterback we need. I'm telling you now, you give me this kid, and over the course of the next 2 years, we'll be right there chomping at the bit, one of the top four or five programs in the Big Ten.
But you've also got to have a business that's going to be receptive to P.J. Fleck coming.
That's my point.
You know, and it's like P.J. Fleck can be a great salesman, and he's got a ton of energy. I'm not a P.J. Fleck hater. I'm not a fan. I'm lukewarm to P.J. Fleck. Like, I don't have any skin in the game. But I feel like P.J. Fleck, with his energy and his just infectious attitude, he's about that positivity. So I feel like that would definitely be a selling point. And I don't necessarily feel like...
If you
like
win, the people will come. That's just the bottom line.
And that's it. But again, I feel
so
like...
If you sell these guys on a quarterback, and that quarterback ends up being what you said it was, then it just continues to be a cycle then. Of, yeah, we'll be able to get this guy in, trust me on this one, and it's going to work out. You get a couple of guys like that and people trust you and it works out the way that you said it would, of course they're going to come back and they're going to spend more money.
But on the flip side, if you haven't made that pitch and you go out to Company X and be like, hey, you know what? We got this guy. I know we can get him. He can make us a contender. We can compete with Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Penn State, whoever. And then it ends up not working out. How can you go back to them and say, hey, you know what? I got another guy. I know that didn't work out, but this guy will.
That's part of your job. That's just part. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work out. That's part of your job. You think that Bill Self, when he goes to boosters and there's a McDonald's All-American that doesn't work out at University of Kansas? Now, granted, okay. Granted, Bill Self's got a lot more. He's got a lot more behind his
cred,
name.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He's got a lot more street cred.
He's got a little more street cred.
I get that. I totally get that. But what I'm saying is that at the end of the day, it's not like the coach is going to not go out and actively, you know, pitch his program.
Yeah.
Because a couple people don't pan out. Like, you're supposed to do that.
He's going to pitch his program no matter what.
No matter what.
Yep.
No matter what. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather with WCCO Television Chief Meteorologist Chris Schaefer. And look, I'm old school. I'm very old school. But are there things from the past that I won't let go of? We get to that next. You're on The Lake Show. I love being back in the day, guy. Heck, I work at WCCO. We're all back in the day men and women, right? Like, we are very old school.
Like the equipment, right? Or are you just talking our attitudes?
That's the way that we roll here. And when we think about things yeah. from the past that we just won't necessarily let go, that just speaks to how old school we can be. And we got to go through this list from MSN. Talking about older adults are sharing the outdated tech they still use today, but they cannot stand because they cannot stand the modern versions.
I
am not so full transparency. I am not the old school guy that can't stand the new school stuff. Like there's certain new school things that I'm not about, like AI.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sitting here not wanting to.
You're not stuck in the past, unwilling to move.
I know that technology is a phenomenal thing. Like, that's just how we roll. We move forward, right? We look at enhancing things.
We evolve.
Okay? But let's not act like everything that happens or that's created, we're just jumping right on board the moment that it takes off. Okay? That's not reality. So how about this quote? When I joined my current company, we all were allotted a sum of money for earphones, headphones of our choice. And the majority of people went for AirPods, while I got a nice pair of wired overheads. I thought, why bother charging something I will only use when sitting by my computer anyway? The same people who laughed at me had later asked to borrow my headphones for meetings when their pods had connectivity issues or low batteries. No such worries for me. All right, so let's deal with that one.
Playing the long game.
Let's start there. Because this topic is all about like debating like new things in technology versus old things, right? That's not a fight I'm going to have. I'm not doing the old school Walkman headphones, because like in this thing they have a picture of the old Walkman, because like you have the little fuzzy things over your ears. I'm not doing that.
Oh, I love like, that. I love
no,
that.
No, I am doing.
Those are awesome.
You work out in those?
I mean, with a Discman listening to Kate Bush like Stranger Things?
It sounds about right.
Yeah, man.
With you?
I'm ready to go.
No, I'm doing the in-the-ear Beats by Dre or AirPods. That's how I'm rolling. I'm not doing the old school thing.
See, you look good and feel good.
So you're doing the old school thing.
Yeah, I do. I actually I do use wired headphones. Yes, I do.
When you're working out?
Well, no, well, like at home when I'm like listening to things, I will put a wired. Like when I'm working out, no, I have my TV on or whatever. Like when I work out at home, I don't have to have.
What you're working out in a gym?
I'm not working out at a gym anymore. I like to do it at home in my own privacy.
All right, this one. Clock radio. I found one from the 1980s in a discount store. It has dials and knobs to make things work. I don't need Wi-Fi, and it works great. Now, with a clock radio, there's that one clock radio that everybody had back in the day. And I'm sure that somewhere in my mom and dad's basement, in storage somewhere, that clock radio still exists. All right, I'll have to go digging. I'll have to go searching for it or whatever. But there's that one that everybody, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, is it the brown one that had all
it's
of the
brown,
little buttons
like,
on the
wooden,
top?
The brown wooden looking one.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody had that
yep,
one.
Yeah, you had the button
the
on the top. Yep, and it like click, click,
and,
click.
And text her, 651-461-9226. Just text in. You know which one I'm talking about. Some of you still have that one. I'm not sure if it works still, but you guys know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You guys exactly know which one I'm talking about. The clock radio thing, I don't use the clock radio. I don't have one anymore because there's something that replaced the clock radio because I just use it as my clock. And that's a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when the cell phone became all-encompassing, and because cell phones are mini computers. That's what they are now. You don't need the clock radio anymore.
But it's funny you say that, because my wife actually has a...
She doesn't have a clock radio.
She has... It's not the clock radio, but it's the old, like, digital clock that she's got on her nightstand. Because it's just, it's easier, like, when, you know, middle of the night, you can actually, like, roll over and you can be like, oh, okay, I know what time it is. She likes to just have that. Plus, you know, she likes to set the alarm on that just in case the alarm on the phone doesn't go off. Kind of like a backup.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why she likes it. And you know, I kind of can't argue with her.
763. Yeah, I got the clock radio. See?
Yeah,
I know. I knew some people had the clock radio. All right, number three. I prefer to pay my bills via check. A hard copy of expenditures is quick and easy to access. Most places keep trying to force an online electronic payment. I also find that writing a check or paying cash makes it much easier to stay within budget. Now, this one I won't fight people on. If people want to continue to write the check, I don't have an issue with that, because certain people, with regards to how they do their documentation, I'm fine with it, man. Like, look, when you go online, you can look at all of your transactions, but if you want to have the check thing, but this is the issue. Who are you writing checks to? Like, I don't want to stand behind you at Cub Foods or Whole Foods, whatever, and you're trying to write a check. Some places don't even accept checks anymore.
Well, in some places, they'll only accept checks or cash. Like, depends on, you know, because I know, like, a lot of, like...
Only checks or cash?
Yeah, well, because...
They won't accept the card at all?
They won't accept the card, yeah. Hmm. Because, like, every transaction, the business gets charged, like, a certain percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to keep their costs down, they try and completely avoid that and be like, hey, cash your check. So, I always have my checkbook with me.
No, you don't.
I do. I've got it with me right now.
Are you serious?
I've got it with me right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm dead serious. I can go into my bag and grab it for you. I do, but I use that mostly for the ledger. But yeah, there are some places that I want to have it just in case. Just in case.
All right, let me get through a couple of these. One of them I'll just go ahead and skip. This one. My all-time old thing to use is a fountain pen and old-style ink to write letters and cards that you send in the post mail. Now, for me, I do keep a pen on me, okay? Because your first time on campus, you at Morehouse College, one of the rules is that you always, a Morehouse man always keeps a pen on him. That's just the thing. Like, they tell you from day one, you step on campus, one of the rules is you always keep a pen on you. And that's just kind of how I operate. So I always got a pen on me at all times, because it's always one of my things.
Hmm.
Are you the same? Not necessarily?
No. Only in my bag. Like, my bag, if I have it with me, I've got, you know, all sorts of stuff in there. But if I'm just, like, out and about, no, I usually don't have a pen on me.
All right, next one. I started wearing a Fitbit-style watch this year, and I've since lost it. I can't tell you how much I miss having a watch. Just look at your wrist. You've got the time and date. No need to find your phone, punch in a passcode, and search on a screen for the time, date. Now, I am a watch guy. I typically wear a watch every day. There have been days where I don't wear a watch, whatever, but I'm an old-school watch guy. I've never had a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, but I am doing a little bit of research, because I think that my next Apple purchase will be an Apple Watch.
I love my Fitbit. I do, because I can look at my sleep, I can look at my calories, I can look at my steps, like I can look at my heart rate, like everything. If I need to adjust something with my workout or with what I'm consuming, it's kind of like a dashboard for my health too. So, yeah.
A few other people have the from the text line. I still use the Sony clock radio and alarm because it's easy.
Yes.
You do not use a texter. Texter, you don't use it every day.
I believe him. I believe our texter.
You believe that texter uses it every day to wake up?
I would believe it. I believe
they're using their damn cell phone.
See, no. See, you're sitting here calling. I believe our texter. Our texter is absolutely being completely transparent with that. I believe that, because there are people that still like to go old school I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
From the 952 from Craig, he says, love to wake up to music on my 90s clock radio. And then from the, what is this? 763, last check to Consumer Reports magazine. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. You're right.
Another texter says, I use an alarm clock every day.
Yes.
Wow, that's something. All right, next one. Automobiles. I do not like the way, the new way to start cars using a push button. More cars are stolen than ever before. Give me the keys. I'd also like to be able to crank a car window down in case of an emergency. That's gone forever now. Yeah. You have to carry a special tool that will break your window into a million little pieces. Now, you would get no disagreement from me.
Nothing.
On that.
Yeah. Nothing with that.
That right there is, that's very old school.
It's trying to go a little. The first time I got into a car that I didn't have to use a key, I'm like, what do I do? They're like, push that button. I'm like, where's the ignition? They're like, no, just push that. And I'm like, is it on? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I need something that's going to fire up. Like, give me a backfire like the exhaust. But yeah, give me an old school ignition. I do agree with that. It's like, why are you trying to streamline this when it's one step, two step, you're done?
How do you feel about the roll down windows, though?
I'm okay with the electric window.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
You know, I don't mind because like the problem with the hand roll down window is sometimes you notice how it would like kind of come off the track. And then you'd have to try and roll it up, and then you'd have to hold it.
To try to get it back in.
Yeah, and I haven't had to do that since I've had cars with electric windows.
Well, I'll say this. There is a project that I need to try to take on starting next summer, me and my father, and that is getting his old school Chevelle squared away. And so that will be one of those deals where you got to go through that entire process.
Really?
Well, no, I'm just saying that's a vehicle that has the roll up. I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, when you're going old school, you're going old school.
Absolutely.
Way. A couple of quick ones I'll get to. This one, it says, I prefer to use an MP3 player rather than listening to music on my phone. My MP3 player is smaller and more portable, clips onto things, and the battery doesn't run down as quickly as my phone. I can't agree with that. I'm not feeling that. I love Apple iTunes. I use it every day when I'm working out, when I'm doing stuff. And then with the advent of YouTube,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all right there. So I can't say that I agree with that.
Yeah, and I use a lot of SiriusXM. I'll listen to like certain workout channels and whatnot. So yeah, I'm kind of the same.
This one, as an avid reader, which I am too,
mm-hmm.
I still prefer to hold a physical copy of a book in my hands.
Yes.
Additionally, I take notes faster by hand than typing. I agree with that 100%. I am a physical copy person. I never once in my life bought one of the
the Kindles.
The Kindles. I never had that. I'm a physical book person.
I bought my wife a Kindle 10 years ago, and I think she used it twice.
Mm.
So it's been it was a pretty good paperweight. Very expensive paperweight at the time.
Yeah. All right. 651-461-9226. Take a break. Come back. Finish off the first hour with some of these texts. We do that next year on the Lake Show. All right. Finish off the opening hour of the Lake Show. Couple of texts about the Gopher football situation and P.J. Fleck for the 952. Fleck should get the bucket of mayo just for being kind of a ham. And then from the 612.
Yeah, ham does go good with mayo.
The 612, for me, the telling sign for Gopher mediocrity was when they built a boutique stadium, TCF Bank, rather than something 80,000 plus. It's like saying we know we can never get much more than 40,000 here. That from Bruce in Bloomington. What justifies 80,000 for a football stadium here for the Gophers? There's nothing that justifies that.
Yeah, you can't have a Gopher stadium that seats more than where the Vikings would play. Like, to me...
Yeah, I don't agree, Bruce. There's nothing that justifies that.
I think 40,000...
We're not trying to be the big house.
No.
Because we ain't the big house.
No, and if you had 80,000, it would look really... It would be hard aesthetically to sell that when you've always got a half or a three-quarters full at best stadium. Like, you'd rather have it smaller and more intimate.
I don't have an issue with the bank.
I think it suits its purpose just fine. I mean, the Vikings, U.S. Bank Stadium, you can't, U.S. Bank Stadium has to have more capacity than the bank. It just does.
From the 763, I want a P.J. Fleck type person coaching the basketball team. We whiffed not having Eric Musselman as our coach. P.J. has done a solid job. The men's basketball team is in a bad place. That from Saul and Blaine. When he says a P.J. Fleck-like person coaching the basketball team, like kind of a rah-rah guy, I'm assuming?
I mean,
what he's saying?
Maybe. Because, I mean, I don't necessarily look at P.J. Fleck as an X's and O's guy. I look at P.J. Fleck as the row the boat slogan, let's go out, and the salesman. Not to the level of Tim Brewster. I'm make that perfectly clear. But I think of P.J. Fleck when I think of being the face of it. I don't necessarily thinking about the coaching X's and O's.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying, let me repeat it again. He says, I want a P.J. Fleck-like person coaching the basketball team. We with not having Eric Musselman as our coach. And Eric Musselman is rip my shirt off type of guy, kind of, you know, rah-rah.
Yeah.
PJ's done this. I don't think he's talking about X's and O's. I think he's talking about just personality.
Just personality.
That's okay. A big talker. Musselman's a damn good coach. I mean, this didn't have...
Musselman's really good.
They didn't have Musselman money, though.
No. I mean, Eric Musselman's a winner. And we know that Musselman basketball DNA in the coaching ranks is as good as you're ever going to get. You don't think so? I think Eric Musselman's name is always
as good as you're going to get.
I mean,
no, I'm a fan of Eric Musselman.
No, that's what I mean. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not knocking Eric Musselman whatsoever. No, I don't want that to be the case.
No, I know. I'm saying he's really, really good. I don't know if that's I wouldn't say he's the best coach out there, but he's a damn good coach.
Damn good coach. Yeah.
I haven't peeped USC though. How is USC doing this year?
You know, I don't know.
Let's have to look that up in the commercial break. You know, well, you can look it up right
I'll look
now.
Up it up.
Hey, real quick, some breaking news. The Miami Heat suspend Jimmy Butler. They are going to listen to trade offers, but he's been suspended for 7 games for conduct detrimental to the team. And I guess this has happened over the course of the last week and month, they say. Jimmy Butler, somebody tried to say to me last night, they were like, trade De'Aaron Fox from Sacramento for Jimmy Butler. If I'm Sacramento, why would I do that? That's dumb. De'Aaron Fox is better than Jimmy Butler right now, and he's younger. Why would I do something that dumb?
Oh, yeah, not even close.
Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
None.
I wouldn't do that.
Zero. Zilch.
And apparently Jimmy had some sort of, I didn't see it, but there was, I saw the words contentious news conference.
Oh, no, I saw it last night.
Did you? Okay.
I saw the soundbite. Yeah, he basically was like, yeah, there's nothing that can salvage what's going on right now. It's pretty much I want to be out of here.
Didn't he say something to the effect that I love my time off the court, I just don't like playing here?
He said he enjoys his time away from the court.
Away from the court.
He's not having any fun or joy on the court. I'm not a Jimmy Butler fan. You guys know that. I don't like how he did the Timberwolves organization, but this is who Jimmy Butler is. Jimmy Butler, when he gets somewhere and he's there for a year or two, whatever, then he just kind of...
wears out his welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Philadelphia, he was there for half a season and bounced. And he's always got... it's a Jimmy Butler thing. Jimmy Butler thinks that he's better than what he is. Jimmy Butler has always viewed himself as like the best player in the league. Jimmy Butler's never been the best player in the league.
Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler's biggest fan, and that is also the biggest problem. And by the way, USC, they've won 4 in a row. They are 9-4 overall.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Coming up next, a mistake that many people made over this holiday season. We get to that next year on the Lake Show.